to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome back to Talking PPG Radio. Will Jones here. Today I have Terry Lucky for you. Got a chance to talk to him just when he got back from the Paratoys convention out off the West Coast there. And it was the weekend or right before the Flying Circus convention, or fly-in. Many of you may know that name from the, well, let's just say he is the developer, builder, designer, test pilot, the mad scientist, there we go, of the Cheap Trike. Well, before, well, the Cheap Trike 4-stroke, I'm sorry. Before the Cheap Trike 4-stroke, Terry actually strapped a Fresh Breeze Seminini to his Cheap Trike. And he developed three other products that actually caught my eye or my interest because I fly a Fresh Breeze Seminini. The extended service hub, the prop hub converter, and the crush plate. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Very easy person to talk to. Very easy interview. If you are wanting to come on and talk, guest host, have thoughts, ideas, suggestions, questions about some of the past shows, would like to know some information about an upcoming show, give me a call, which I'll have my telephone number in the show notes, or email me at wjones1040@yahoo.com. I'm on the big list under wjones1040. Thank you very much, guys. Hope y'all enjoy. Bye.
All right, I'm on the line with Terry Lucky, famous for the Cheap Trike. How are you doing today, Terry?
I'm very good. Appreciate you getting a hold of me.
Oh, gosh, my pleasure. I think I've looked at all your YouTube stuff or whatever like that and just wanted to give you a call and chit-chat about a couple things that you actually are manufacturing. I know you've talked to many people about your Cheap Trike, and but I know you were also producing a couple of other things that that I was interested in. And how are you doing today? I'm sorry. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thanks. We're up here in the cold north Michigan, southwest Michigan, so we've got we're contending with a bunch of snow here, although we're in for a little heat wave, so very likely within the next 7 days, we could be our snow could become water, and that's just fine with me.
Unless it starts to flood, of course.
Yeah, we get that issue too.
I don't know. I think I'd rather be out in AZ right now. It's probably sunny and warmer. There's probably a lot of guys out there flying today or getting ready to fly.
Those that get there early and getting set up. I don't know if they're able to fly at the. Off the site there, a day in advance or not? I imagine so because the vendors are already showing up there. I think.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
That's the opportunity to fly, really.
Well, Terry, I know there's a lot of people know about you and stuff like that. Could you give us a little information on you for like the new guy? Hopefully, there might be some new guys that are listening in today. I know you have the Cheap Trike, and was wondering like how long you've been in PPGN, and you know, just a little information on yourself for the guys.
Well, sure. I've got to think about this a bit. I came into aviation a little bit different than a lot of folks. There's people that have more extended aviation backgrounds than myself, for example. They come from fixed wing or ultralight of some sort. I just became involved in, I think for a moment here, I became involved in 2001.
Oh, okay.
I know this because I was, right after I got my PPC wings, powered parachute wings, and that's how I came into the sport. Very shortly after that, the was 9/11, and they shut down all the airspace. So I was, I had the, you know, of course, the uncertainty of that time, plus the fact that none of us could fly. All the airspace was shut down, so there was a period of time, I can't remember how long, maybe a week or two, where we were not allowed to fly at all. Anyway, that's when I got into the sport in 2001, and I flew powered parachutes exclusively for a couple of years, and maybe in 2003, I kind of lose track of the dates, and in 2003, I began having an active interest in a powered paraglider.
Wow, okay.
Came into it in trikes in the early stages. Transitioned to backpack after the first year, maybe 2004.
So you do still, you do foot launch too, okay. I didn't know, some guys may think you just exclusively.
Then I got out of triking, I exclusively foot launched, and then I had a renewed interest in it. And at this point, I don't have any foot launch equipment right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I just this past fall, I sold, I had two motors, and I sold them both. And I'll probably, depending on my training schedule, in the spring I'll probably pick up another motor as soon as the weather starts great, you know, for a backpack, so foot launch.
Well, you're probably so busy with the cheap trike stuff, and probably
right now I have a, you know, the I'm building the four stroke flyer.
Right. Is that the name, four stroke flyer?
Well, it's actually called the Cheap Trike. That was the original name of it, which is sort of a tongue-in-cheek name that I was sourced from when I used to build just trikes, and I sold them, just the trike attachment set unit.
So, yeah.
You know, attach to paramotors, you attach paramotors to them. And then I adopted that name. And I don't know how long I'm going to stay with it, because the obviously it's not that cheap anymore.
There you go.
It's less cheap than a lot of people would like, including myself. But for now, that's my website, so that's what we're going by.
Well, give us your website real quick.
It's CheapTrike, www.CheapTrikeFlyer.com.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but go right ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so... I'm spending a lot of time doing that. The units are, you know, I'm not building so many of them that I've that I'm able to really have a what we call a production line.
Right.
Everyone is sort of hand built.
Uh huh.
And I just have patterns and jigs and stuff I work on.
Is it just you? You build them yourself, or do you have help?
Just me. I do all the welding.
Wow.
And all the motor mounting. I do. The hubs that we are all custom made, and the redrive hubs and the pulleys that go on the motor, they're all custom made.
Wow.
Everything is hand built. And
time consuming.
Powder coating, and actually I buy the engine from the Briggs engine, Briggs 23. So, needless to say, I can chew up a week pretty easy putting one of these together. Maybe a little more sometimes if I don't really stay with it or if I get interrupted. And which is kind of amazing in a way, that you can start from steel tubing and a week later roll out a flying machine.
Yes, yes. I remember your first year cheap trike when you were hooking your Seminini to it, and I even remember when you actually were selling it on eBay. I think I had talked to you about, you know, you had a, you know, even, I think you were even selling the designs or whatever like that too. So, yeah, you've been doing this.
That was really a part-time venture. I was I kind of got started on that. Someone had introduced a $3,000 trike, I think. And
wow.
And I thought, you know, maybe there's another way to do this. And
yeah.
So I began that little venture based on. That I felt as though that there could be something offered that was less expensive.
Yeah.
And it was. It was a good try. I sold quite a few of those, actually.
Yeah. I was surprised to see you pull it. It was like, what happened? You know? So, it's like, no.
Yeah, it was a couple things happened there that caused me to not be interested in that project anymore. But Overall, it was. In fact, I still have components around. It was a. It was a successful trek. One of the things I noticed, though, is that I had my Simonini, my first grease Simonini, attached to it, and I would attach it by the base, like you would see different.
Yes.
Paramotors would attach them by the base. Maybe a Walker Jet. You would commonly see this. Or I've seen them at fly-ins very recently.
Yes.
Where they attach by the base, and the pilot sits in the standard factory harness.
Right.
And apparently those frames are strong enough where there's the undue stress of the landings, you know, the bounce around the ground and that sort of thing, really don't damage the frame. In the case of the Fresh Breeze, I found I was actually stressing the frame a little bit. And so with my particular attachment,
it
probably needed a little bit more support with that particular motor.
With the particular
probably other motors, too, that really wouldn't have held up well to that.
Yeah.
And so, in my case, I was noticing some stress cracks in my frame.
Oh, wow.
By mounting it that way. Now, the way you have yours, you're mounted on a flash, I think.
Yes, flash track, yes.
Yeah, and that's really the more sensible way to mount motors where they're...
With the post in on it,
Their push power.
Right, okay, just hung on, hanging on there,
Exactly. Yeah. And you're sitting in a separate harness that's suspended in the frame of the trike. So that is really the better way to do it. And so had I stayed with the cheap trike original, this trike design, I probably would have had to transition from what I was building to what you have, that idea.
That idea. What more of that the poster, that holds it, the pusher. Like I said, I remember you selling them and stuff, and it was like, wow, that was cool, because your videos were all, it's like, it's always snowing where he's at. What's going on? Is there no summertime where he's at? So
actually, I think I probably started building in the fall, so we
did.
We ended up shooting a lot of the videos. My good friend Scott, he shoots the videos and cuts into the flying time, and he's a good sport about it. So we have... that I think we did both that in the winter. That's what you're seeing.
Well, I'm glad.
But we do get snow. We do have winter here. So maybe a third of the time we shoot videos, you'll see snow.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're experiencing that in Louisville right now, Louisville, Kentucky. Here, ourselves, is like one of the roughest winters we've had. So, but I'm glad to see the progression. I'm sure a lot of guys are like. Just like me, I'm always looking to see what you got new and what's coming out and stuff, what your designs and stuff. They are looking really good. You're putting a four-stroke on them now. And
I am. I think that we're going to see over time, whether it is, in the end it's with the trike of my design or somebody else, but I think we're going to see a push in triking.
Yes.
Towards four strokes. I think it's inevitable that there's going to be a more of an interest and supply of these machines available. And so mine is not the first one out there, certainly. I didn't invent the concept, but the Green Eagle.
Green Eagle, right.
Been around. Mm-hmm. Yep, and possibly some others. I'm not, the names are getting away from me, but possibly one or two that are produced in Europe.
I think I remember seeing some in Europe that were produced or whatever like that,
And so there's a lot of advantages and very few disadvantages. The disadvantages are important, but one is that the horsepower-to-weight ratio of a two-stroke is really hard to beat.
Yes.
And, in fact, whether you're triking or backpacking, it makes a big difference. If you want a lighter machine, and, of course, with backpacking, really two-stroke is all you can use.
Right.
Effectively, the only thing that works for most pilots. But in the case of triking, where you have a dedicated trike that is doesn't need to be broken down into small sections and doesn't need to be transported in on the back of a Civic, and that's that idea. If you don't mind trailering or putting in the back of a pickup truck, then it certainly is an option. And then the advantages start becoming quite apparent of reliability.
Reliability, right.
Low fuel burn. A lot of issues sort of come into play there that you'll appreciate once you can make that jump to a dedicated trike.
Dedicated trike, really?
So that is the market I'm looking for at this point. I'm trying to find people interested.
You have dealers. You are actually getting dealers or seeking dealers now, right?
Yeah, I have a couple of dealers now and some others that are interested. And in the beginning, I was going to try to do this without dealers.
Oh, really? And, okay.
Well, yeah, because, you know, dealers, you know, following the cheap trick theme, I guess, dealers, you know, they don't do this stuff for nothing.
Right.
They
yes.
You know, they'll sell products, but obviously
yeah.
they're going to, there's a commission has to be paid there.
Yeah.
And so my thought was if I could do this without dealers, that I could sell the product for less
than reasonable price. Yeah.
The problem is that I didn't really dare sell it to anyone who
didn't have
trained.
Right. Okay.
And so
you had to support the training, and yeah. Okay, I can understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it almost is a that model. Had I thought it through more carefully, I would have been able to say, well, no, that doesn't really work because a responsible person couldn't sell a flying machine to someone who, just because he could write a check for it.
Right.
Really.
Very
really
sensible, yes.
Responsible to ship without having, making sure there's some training available for him.
Yeah. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I never thought of that because I thought that's what you were going to do. You were going to, because I think you actually did sell a couple before you actually got your dealers, right? If I'm correct.
But they ended up in a situation where I could train them.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
So,
yeah.
So in that situation, that was it worked out okay. But then, what you do is you really limit yourself to a regional, local regional manufacturer.
Yeah.
If you're going to do this, what I would say ethically.
Yeah.
You're limiting yourself to people who you can actually lay your eyeballs on. You can spend time training them.
And it takes away from your build time too, though, don't it?
Yeah.
Wow. You would have to.
So hopefully this will all work out. We're in the early stages of the. Of the dealer.
Who you have right now? Well, who's your dealers right now?
Well, it's Chad Bastian is my dealer in California, so I'll call him my West Coast dealer.
West Coast dealer?
Yeah, might as well. And then Ron Hogan is coming on.
Ron Hogan,
His machine will get delivered. And Ron Hogan's in the Nashville general area.
Okay. I can't think of his Nashville website. I'll put his website on my in the show notes and stuff. I can't think of what it is right now.
It's close to me at the moment, too.
Yeah.
He'll have his. And he's actually got information up on his website, I think, already about
that. He does. Okay.
And his is a... He's disordered... this can be delivered in a couple different ways. It can be delivered as just a power unit, which is a four-stroke power pack or power package. And be mounted to several different types of trikes.
Uh-huh.
He happens to have a paratoise trike, which is sort of the original paratoise style trike with the, you know, the big fat beach tires. And,
right. Rollies, yeah, the Rolly tires.
Rolly tires. And,
yeah.
And so I haven't mounted the four-stroke to that yet, so it'll be interesting to see how the motor adapts to that.
That is really cool, because... like I said, I've been watching and trying to see what you come out with new and stuff, as I'm sure everybody has. It's like, when you come up with the idea of like lowering the motor and coming and going with the hub up so far and stuff with that long belt, I mean, was there any problems as far as that belt coming off? Because when I first saw it, I was like, whoa, that's a long belt.
No, actually, that was the problem I expected, was that the belt would be hard to tension, or
uh-huh.
just because there's so much, you would think there's so much room that it could move laterally, that the thing would, you know, edge off the pulley and next mm-hmm. pop off. And I found that there's been several challenges developing all this, but that has never had been one. And the belt has never come off one time.
Wow.
And I'm very lackadaisical about how I tighten it. Sometimes I make it really quite tight, and sometimes not very tight. It really doesn't make any difference. The belt doesn't come off.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ended up not being a challenge. In fact, in the beginning, I had a tensioner that I carefully placed on one side so I could, you know, keep the belt tensioning
yeah.
carefully and
uh-huh.
reduce the belt sort of flops in and out under load at different vibrations. I would call it a vibration in the belt, or the belt pulses a little bit. And I was very careful about installing this tensioner, pulling
yeah.
spring loaded, and I was sort of bragging about how I put that on there. But one time I decided to run it without, and I actually find I don't need a tensioner.
No problem at all.
I just tension it, the main pulley by sliding it up, and very similar to how Monster has been done in the past, where they tension that bolt and pull the pulley up, which tensions the belt, and never have lost the belt.
Oh, that's excellent. That is excellent. Let's see, what are you a machinist by trade?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm actually kind of a refugee from the building and finance business.
Really?
Construction and finance.
Okay.
But I've always had an interest in this. I've always had a shop of my own where I've built and fabricated things. My machinist work, or my machine, the pulleys I have made, I actually designed those, and then there's a neighbor of mine that has a full-time CNC shop.
Oh, okay. All right. Because
he turns the pulley for me.
Okay, because I'm thinking he's got to be a machinist. He's got to be a machinist because these pulleys and stuff are beautiful. I mean, he's got to be a machinist. I mean, that nice work. I mean, really nice work.
He gives them to me and they look very nice, and then I usually polish them up before I send them out.
Yeah.
I try to put a good shine on everything, you know.
Yeah.
People will usually appreciate that, even though it doesn't stay shiny very long.
No, I don't. I don't know what it is about all that oil and stuff all over it. It's just, what the heck?
Yeah.
I tell you, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was like the extended service hub. I don't know if anybody even knows that you actually have an extended service hub for you. I guess you came up with this when you were really into the backpacking with your Fresh Breeze Seminini.
Well, it was just this past season, actually. I had a Fresh Breeze Seminini with a long prop.
Yes.
And the 122. And it's a motor I trained on as well.
Uh-huh.
That I offered training with. And so, you know, the motor saw some action. You know, it was it was on the ground more than once, and, you know, I sort of gave up on the expensive propellers and was using wood props. And,
yes.
All the things you're not supposed to do to a motor was going on with this one. So it wasn't very long. I didn't have that many hours on it, and I was noticing that the bearings had that loose feel. You could wobble the prop blade, and it would exceed what I thought was safe. So
yes.
I bought new bearings for it and replaced them. And it wasn't very long, and I was having the same issue again. So I took the hub apart and pulled the bearings out and started miking the thing. And I felt as though what was going on there was that the hub, first of all, it had spun a bearing inside, so I could see there was
oh, you did, okay.
Inside of the bore. But also I felt as though the hub probably had sort of egged out over time. In other words, it wasn't perfectly round anymore.
So you were probably getting like a vibration and everything.
Yeah, it was not good. And one of the things I noticed was that the bearings, there's a fairly good lateral load. You know, as you tension the belt, you pull down on the, essentially pull down on the large pulley, or pulling the two pulleys together.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I felt as though the bearings, the outer bearing in particular, could be pushed out further, away from the inner bearing. In other words, more separation between the two, which would put the outer bearing closer to the load, the belt tension load.
Yeah.
And so we built one, and I tried it for a while, and it in fact worked. The logic behind it was good, I think, that it separated the bearings and spread the load.
Spread the load.
The logic was good. I didn't have a lot of time to test it. I think I had several months that I ran hard. I was still training with the motor, and it did all the right things. So I started selling a few of them.
Yes.
You know, when you make one, you know, you buy the stock.
Yes.
You know, the bar stock, and it's actually cheaper by the part to make six. I think that's probably what I did. I made six.
Oh, okay. The quantity you had to you bought enough to make six of these of the extended hubs. Okay, all right.
The amount of material.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I got good feedback from what people would tell me was that it felt like when the motor was brand new when they put the hub up.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it should do, and any hub would do that.
If right.
You got a hub from
Fresh
Breeze, it would do the same thing. It would feel like new. And the only thing that additional was that it was a difference in engineering or a difference in design.
Yes.
And so the hope is, and we're hoping this would be true, I guess, that the bearings are going to last a lot longer.
A lot longer.
Mm-hmm. Now because they're separated.
Have you got any feedback, any more feedback from the guys that you've sold them to?
Yeah, really not much negative. There's two... a total of, I think about this room, there's a total of three, and it's all quite a few, a total of three out there that one individual, apparently forgot the Loctite, or something happened where the bolt came out, the internal bolt, that came loose, and he heard that rattling around, took it apart, and he was able to fix it himself.
Okay. Oh.
I think he maybe put a longer bolt in, or use Loctite, or a lock washer, or something. And that was an assembly. I assembled these things myself, and that was an assembly screw up on my part, no doubt. And there's another one that had a noise, and he sent it back to me, and I just sent him a new one, and I never took it apart, I just threw it.
Did you?
Sure. Probably just had a bad bearing.
Yeah.
They haven't gotten to it yet, I've been busy. And then another guy said his is tracking off one belt tooth. And I haven't got to the bottom of that. He's in Florida, and as soon as he can, he's going to send it back to me, and I'll rebuild it.
Huh.
But by and large, I've gotten really good feedback on it, and no complaints.
No complaints at all.
And actually, you don't hear that much. I just assume if you don't hear anything,
it's all good.
Everything's going well.
Yeah.
And
it looks really nice. It looks
beefy.
Somebody
pays $300 or something, and it doesn't work well, I'm going to hear something.
There's a knock at the door.
And no. In fact, it's true. If there's a problem, I hear. But it hasn't been a perfect product, but overall, it's held up really well. And so my service work, you know, I guarantee this stuff. And I haven't had to replace a lot of them. So that's always a good sign for me. That's probably doing its job.
Yeah.
Come midsummer, you know, we get into our next flying season. And by midsummer, I'll have a really good idea what's going on.
So they've been out about a year, you think? Is that how long you've had them out?
Well, less than that, actually.
Less than that, okay.
Put them out, it'll probably be a year in July that the
first
one went out. Maybe in June, something like
See,
that.
See, when did you put...
So,
yeah.
part of the main flying season last year, and then certainly by midsummer...
Yeah, I was looking...
I'll have more feedback as what's going on.
I was looking on YouTube here. It looked like you had posted your first post was like August 24th on that video talking about this.
Okay, maybe that's pretty close. Now,
yeah.
I had them in service myself a couple of months before that.
Before that, okay.
Yeah. So I was where, and I had put out three as demos that people were flying before I actually offered them for sale. And you got to be careful with stuff like that. You know, you put it out there and. If you're in fact going to make good on warranties, you don't want to put a lemon out there.
Right.
All of a sudden, you sold a lot of them with a lot of promises, and all of a sudden the warranty becomes financially difficult.
Right. Yeah.
And so, a two-edged sword. You want it to really sell well, but on the other hand, you don't want it to sell so well that you can't afford to do the warranty work if there's a big problem.
Right.
So,
well, it looked like it's really. It looked like it's pretty. I mean, the thought that went into it was. I mean, when I was sitting there looking at it, I was like, "Well, that makes sense," you know, to spread it out, to spread the load out a lot evenly and stuff. I mean,
now, in all fairness, to Fresh Breeze, I have to say that they have a lot of these motors out there.
Yeah,
and
right.
Somebody, you know, I mean, somebody said to me, "Well, why would I need one of those?" And he had a Fresh Breeze 780. I said, well, you know, if you're not having problems, you don't need one.
You don't need one, right.
Because the one they sell is, Fresh Breeze Fields is adequate, apparently. And,
been out for
and
a while.
For a lot of people, they give fine service. So I'm certainly am not trying to trash the Fresh Breeze product. However, this is an alternative that I think might make a nice add-on to someone who's having some trouble with her.
With her, right, understand, yeah. No, not trying to bash him or smash him, no, I know that, yeah, no, like I said, they've had them out for a while, and I have a motor that has 60 hours on it, and no problem at all, so, But see, and I said, but yeah, and that's one of those things where, you know, like you said, it was on the ground a few times, or a lot of things.
Oh,
there was a training motor.
No doubt, this thing this thing had been rolled around a few times, so and all that stuff. I mean, that's the first question somebody would ask if you have any redrive problems. Did you ever break a prop or have
right. a
ground break?
Yeah,
and you know, naturally, that's a unintended load.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is just something that certainly was a factor. But it's not just me. There's others. There's others out there that are expressing the same concerns.
Same concerns. Yeah.
Are giving the product a try. So I've shipped a few internationally and.
Oh wow. Now, see, I was going to introduce you as a world famous, you know, Terry Lucky, but I, you know, I didn't want you. Well, I guess YouTube does make you world famous, though. See, see, I got to go back and redo it now. World famous Terry Lucky here with me on the line.
That would be an exaggeration, probably. But
listen,
but it sounds good.
Well, you see. And you also do you still sell the crush plate?
You know, actually, the crush plates. I was sending those out free when someone bought the extended service.
So okay.
The crush plate was kind of an attractive product, and it had a nice. The problem I was having when I put a wood prop on my Simonini is that the wood prop the hub. The hub size, 780 hub size.
Yes.
Is relatively small compared to hub sizes of, say, the Black Devil.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you put the wood prop on, it tends to crush into the back of the prop a little bit. And what that does is, it, in effect, gives you loose bolts.
Oh.
What happens? Oh,
okay.
Well, the wood crushed a little bit. And eventually, the wood doesn't compress anymore, so it's not an issue.
Not an issue.
But when you put this crush plate behind on top of the hub and behind the propeller, they gave it a bigger surface, and so it didn't tend to crush the propeller. So the idea was good, and it did help. It did solve the problem, but I don't think a lot of people are using wood props on fresh breezes.
Oh, fresh.
Or, anyway, I never sold a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, very few. Yeah, I think it's one of those deals where they break them, and it's like, well, you know, the their new carbon fiber, you know, is what, $450 or something like that.
Yeah,
so I think most people, like me, I'd probably end up getting a wood prop if I bring my carbon fiber prop, you know, compared to price or whatever. Yeah.
And maybe these days they're breaking props. I don't know. Maybe they're good. They don't break props.
There you go. That's it.
But I never sold a lot of those, and so I ended up, I was just sending them free along when someone bought an extended service hub. But more recently, I'm finding there's a, I'm using them as spacers when I build the redrive assembly for the four-stroker.
Oh, are you?
So,
okay.
Yeah, right. I'm just keeping the rest of them because they make a nice oversized washer and they have to be just the right size. So,
but if somebody needed one, they could still get one from you and stuff, can't they?
I got a few around here. Yeah, I kind of won't produce it more. And the ones I do make, I'll make out of steel from now on because it's a better adaption for me.
Okay.
And I had one other product, which was a converter, which would, in essence, convert a fresh breeze, which has a, I think it's a 50-millimeter bolt pattern, from bolt to bolt,
mm-hmm.
across the hub, to a standard Rotex pattern, which is 75 millimeters. So you put the adapter on and use the same bolt holes that's standard, the 50-millimeter pattern, and install the adapter. And then over top of that, you would install the standard Rotex 1-inch centering, with a 1-inch centering frame. A standard Rotex board out prop.
Did you use
a hole in the middle?
Did you with that converter hub? Did you test different blades and stuff like that on your
I did. I had several props around here that I tried, but none of them were all that satisfactory. I put on an altar prop.
Yeah.
A plastic propeller essentially that has the pitch block. You can set for various pitch, and that was a 48-inch 3-blade, I think. And it was a nice smooth-running prop. 3-blades are very smooth-running compared to 2-blade off. And so it was a nice smooth-running
balance
prop.
Balance better.
That part of it was really nice, but it didn't really enhance the thrusting that I could. But I sold, you know what? I sold a lot of those things, and I never got any feedback. I don't know if people are using them or if they're...
That's a good thing.
Happier. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing to go wrong with them. It's just a, you know, essentially...
Yeah.
Piece of machine
I think a lot of people assume, I'll put another blade on, I'll get more thrust, or is what I'm guessing.
Well, I'm sure. I never spent the money, but I think if you had put on like a power fin, a really good, a really good carbon fiber prop, three blade,
yeah,
power fin, maybe an Ivo, a prop like that, maybe even a GSC, that you could realize some more thrust, certainly some more, a really smooth running propeller,
yeah.
And so hopefully somebody's tried that, but I've never gotten any feedback. So as far as I know, they could all be paperweights.
This is from the world famous Terry Lucky paperweight.
I know. Hopefully they're on motors.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I'm sure that I didn't know if you had done much testing with it or not. I knew you had you were making a converter or whatever like that. So and that is still available if somebody wants it.
Oh, I got a pile of those.
You do.
I've never used one, so I'd like to sell those. But,
okay.
And it's a nice part. They, it's it's real pretty, and it goes with the bolts, and it's all ready to go. So,
and if
you have to experiment with a Rotec pattern prop, this is a great product for that.
And if anybody wants to, if they want to see it, you can go to YouTube, and you actually have.
I think it's still on there.
Yes, it is. Got it right up. I got it up right here, right now.
I was
looking at it. Yeah. So and also the crush plate, the converter hub, and all your other trike designs are. I'm still waiting to see where you're going at with the horizontal shaft. Is that what it is?
Vertical shaft.
Yes.
Actually, that is progressing a little bit.
Is it?
I'm not ready to do make a lot of announcements with that, but that I think we're gradually making some strides with that.
Yeah.
That's kind of a tricky. Engineering to overcome
this. Well, looking the way you got the belt and all that.
Have a niche.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? Now, is that going to lower the center of gravity even more?
Only slightly. It's not, the main reason that one would be interested in that is that it creates, there's a couple of reasons. One is that the vertical shaft motors are much more available, and I should say they're much less costly. Than horizontal
shaft, right? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And the part of they're also available in different price ranges. In other words, a 23 or 25 horse motor in vertical shaft is available in a huge price range. Possibly from 700 to three times that.
Yes.
Depending on the application. But for our application, most of them will work. Even the lower end models will work quite well. The one I have, in fact, I bought quite cheaply off eBay. It was brand new, quite cheap. But it's known that it's called an Intec engine, which is an inexpensive series of Briggs and Stratton.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same horsepower as the one I've been using. It's the horizontal shaft I've been using. And yet it was about a third of the price. So so there's certainly some incentives and costs to do this.
The same. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say there's what I'm finding interesting is that with your motor, your Simonini, and the horizontal Briggs that I use, all the mass is rotating in the same direction.
Yes.
And I'm finding some interesting side effects with rotating on two different planes, that is the horizontal and vertical plane.
Really?
That there's some interesting side effects with that. I can get into that more at a different time. But and so just from an engineering standpoint, it's a very interesting project. And so I think there'll be some application not so far down the road.
Well, that is too cool. What do you call it? V-dog drive. Is that what you call it? Your names are great, I'm telling you.
One of the videos I call it a new product from WonderWorks, and that's really what it means is that wonderful work.
That's good.
That's really my theme. I think wonderful to work.
That is great. So far, so good. I tell you what.
You gotta appreciate the fact that I have quite a tall scrap pile of things that I've tried, and so you go through. Well, there's two sides of that. The things that don't work don't show up on YouTube, obviously, and what does work, and I think has
So if we take the camera out back behind the shed, yeah. is what you're telling me. That's great.
And you know, I think anybody that goes through this is going you're going to go through.
What was they called? R&D, you know, right?
You don't move it along for far. You know, it's one of the things when you do an R&D on a budget is a really sharp engineer. He could take the reverse trike that I built, and he would say, "Well, that probably won't work that good. I'm actually a lot of problems with that." Well, not me. I don't see any problems with it. I just And then I lived the problems instead.
You had a reverse trike. Did you do the timber trike? Was that you?
I did that. Yeah.
Okay.
Not just myself. Brandon also did one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he also, and so him and I were developing sort of simultaneously on that one, I think. But I had the timber. In fact, I flew that for quite a while. The timber trike.
So if somebody calls you the mad scientist, you wouldn't get mad or anything, now, would you? I mean.
Well, no.
And I do mean that in a good way. It's like, wow.
Yeah, and I don't really look at what I do as breaking new ground in many ways. I think it's a lot of it is that quite curious about things, but a lot of it is, for example, with the trike. Probably the novel part about the four-stroke trike is that you had mentioned this is having the power, the engine low and the propeller high, which is a enhances center of gravity and some balance issues and so on. And I think that is. Something I would like to see adopted more widely. I think it's
common sense in a way. Lower and everything,
I mean, to me it is. And I don't really see a downside with that. But other people have done the four-stroke idea, and so if I've done anything, it's maybe that lowering the motor, changing the center of gravity, and trying to commercialize the venture. Near the front of that.
Certainly, you got a good shot. I mean, it looks like it's going to go. It's.
I think so. It's just a matter of scale, I guess.
Right.
These things that you have to sell enough of them to keep it interesting.
Yes.
And if if you sell four a year, it's sort of hard to stay in the game at such a low production.
Right.
So hopefully
Well, that's why I had asked you if it was just you producing them or you had help or whatever like that, but that becomes a more overhead for you if you get somebody helping you doing it, so cutting into your...
Yeah, I actually have a retired aircraft mechanic, and he comes in and he can do welding for me. And also he's really good with ideas and layouts in the early stages of a project like that.
Yeah. Oh, so he don't look at you like, okay... All right, mad scientist, where are you going at now with it?
No, he's actually very supportive. And
that's great.
A lot of the ideas are his.
Yeah.
As we go through this, and he's able to tell me, as a layman aircraft mechanic.
Yeah.
And builder, we tend to build too strong, typically too heavy.
Right.
And,
okay.
They tend to an aircraft mechanic and a true somebody who's done a lot of work on airframes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
They will give you a lot of feedback as to what you can get away with as far as lightning.
Oh.
And making the things that'll actually get off the ground. So it's invaluable to have somebody around that has that knowledge.
That's a very quality help. I'm sure that helps you out a lot. Yeah. That is excellent. One other thing, of course, I'm looking at your YouTube thing here. The boat on the water, is that you got a video of somebody in a boat with? Is that one of your units on there? Or
yeah, it's one of the four-stroke units. When I first started the project, I started out with a direct drive that has no redrive at all.
Uh-huh.
So I had a hub made that fit directly on the engine, and also would adapt a propeller directly to it. So I wanted to run it for a while just to see what was going to happen.
What was going to happen? That was another test, type of a test thing or test session, I guess.
Yeah. Wow. So we had a boat and we have a pond right here and
okay,
so
where you're
two together and that was us just putting hours on it, basically.
So your neighbors were looking at you going, okay.
There aren't many neighbors out there. But it was a it was a kind of an interesting project in that the boat would, I have more videos, but the boat would actually run probably in 4 inches of water.
Oh, just skim it. Yeah.
It was interesting, but I don't do anything on the water myself, so I had no personal interest in fishing. Apparently, in the South, they have something sort of similar to this, where they use as for bow fishing. So you stand on the bow on a flat platform and bow and fish that way.
Yeah. Well, really?
Oh, yeah. But that was a project that I had, but it was really part of the horse flying.
More R&D stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Terry, if anything else you want to give your website again, and I did find Ron's website is paramotorair.com is what it is. You're one of your dealers now, I guess, or soon to be, yes. Or
yes, so we got two states covered anyway now. We got Tennessee and California.
Yes.
With dealers.
Yes, and actually Ron has information and pictures of your cheap trike flyer, 4-stroke.
He's got it on there already. I figured he probably would. Yeah.
Yes, he's got it on here. And he's got it, actually he even shows it. It's hooked up to a trike buggy, and it looks like one of the Paratoys buggies, the Lowboy. So I guess that's part of your power unit.
His will cover a little different area when he gets his mounted to the original Paratoy trike. So that'd be a real interesting project, I think.
Yeah. But his website is paramotorair.com. So, and then you also have Chad Bastian, which I guess trike buggy, and he's got several websites, but I guess you can go to... I'm assuming it's on his Trike Buggy website.
It is.
Yeah. How did they go out there? You took one out there, I do believe.
It went good. There was two out there. There's another previous customer was attending.
Okay.
And there was I felt as though there was strong interest in the machine. So came over and looked at it. I had a little incident with it when I was launching it, where I broke a prop and damaged some other stuff, but. We had to fly it again before I left. It was up and ready to fly. And ultimately it sold. Someone bought it there before the fly-in.
That's great.
So, that was all good. And so I had to... Chad bought another one right away, so I got that one done and sort of moved that ahead of Ron Hogan's in a way, because I wanted to get one prepared for the... for Chad, for Arizona.
There'd
be a lot of people there, so it'd be a good idea to have one there, I thought.
Yeah.
And then there may be a couple there anyway, but it would be good to have a demonstration.
Demonstrator, so, yeah.
Anyway, I actually end up air freighting his out there.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it'll be there on time, but...
Yeah. Whew.
It's all good, so...
Yeah. Air freight. Okay.
Well, it ends up being what they call 30-day guaranteed.
Yeah.
And when that means zones away and third gate guaranteed, it goes by air.
Yeah. Wow. Well, excellent. Excellent. Well, Terry, I guess I've taken up a lot of your time, my friend.
That's good. Good luck with your venture here. I hope that people, I'm sure you will. Get some.
Thank you very much. Terry, and
I think you do well. Go ahead, and call me anytime you wish. If you have something you want to discuss briefly, you just give me a call, and I'm always interested in talking. So,
I definitely will. And good luck on your venture with your dealers and stuff like that. I think it's gonna be good. I like I said, I'm always looking to see what you got new, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are.
Well, I appreciate your vote of confidence there.
Thank you once again, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
You goodbye.
Well, there you go. Terry Lucky, Cheap Trike. Go to www.cheaptrike.com. flyer.com for more information on the things you heard, the Cheap Trike, the Extended Service Hub, the adapter, and the crush plate. Very nice guy to talk to. He will talk to you if you have any more questions about anything that you may have missed or didn't understand. Go to paramotorair.com, which is Ron Hogan's site, which is one of his dealers, and you could see, you'll have got great pictures on there and video links to it. You can also go to trikebuggy.com, which is Chad Bastian's site. Those are the two dealers that Terry actually has at this time. We're going to go out. What's a little the outro music, little Peter Green. I'd like to thank you guys very much for listening. Hope you are enjoying. I'm having fun. I'm learning. And hopefully I'll get this interview thing down a little bit better. So thanks a lot, and we will talk to you soon. Got more stuff to go. Thanks. Bye.
I don't look for no worries. Worries and troubles come around. Yes, I don't look for no worries, people. Worries and troubles come around. The world keep on turning. I got to keep my feet on the ground. But nobody saw me crying. Nobody knows where I feel. Nobody saw me crying. Nobody knows where I feel. Yeah, the way I love the woman, it's bound to get me killed. So good, she make my load down, but I come. Love the little girl so good, she make my load down, but I come. I need a woman so bad, I need her like the sky, I need the sun.